Struggling to make money from your show? Today, we're clearing out the mental blocks keeping you from monetizing your content. Right here, right now, it's On Air Brands.
You are now tuned in to the On Air Brands podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the On Air Brand Show. I am Todd Genetasio along with my co-host, Amber Furman. Amber, what is going on?
What's up, Todd? I'm so excited for this. I feel like Wednesdays, I was talking to somebody at the dog park today, and he was like, do you have a busy day today? And I said, I do, but my Wednesdays are all my recording days. And so I spend Monday and Tuesday in the law firm, and then Wednesday I'm recording. And so I'm super busy all day long. But it doesn't feel busy because it's like that change of pace.
Yeah.
So I'm always so excited to record because I'm like, I get to do something different for the first time in the week.
Yeah, that's good. Change of pace, you know? And like, plus you got, you know, you've got your new shiny.
I do.
Shiny MacBook Pro in the box over there.
I do. I'm so excited. You guys don't understand how, I don't know whether I want to call it exciting or a little terrifying this is to go from never owning a Apple product to everything Apple in 18 months. But man, I drank the Kool-Aid.
That's right. You know, it's awesome. And you know, you wouldn't have been able to buy that MacBook if you didn't have money for it. Right. And like, that's something else people are terrified about is how to make money with their show or their content. They get these mental blocks because they're like, oh, well, I'm doing this show because I want to provide great value for people. I shouldn't be asking them for money. I shouldn't promote my products and all that kind of stuff. And you're going to help us with that mindset wizardry today to overcome those mental blocks so that our great listeners who have their shows and are launching their shows can start to actually turn those shows into a way to make money for their business.
Yeah, I'm super excited for it. I think that this is something that so many people deal with when they start to cross that threshold. You know, last week we talked about the mental blocks from actually starting your podcast. So now you have your podcast up and running and people are starting to notice and you're getting to that point where you want to monetize it. And there's a whole new set of mental blocks that come with that that people deal with and they think they're alone in. So I'm really excited to dig into this today.
Yeah, yeah. And so I want to just lay out off the top of my head just a kind of bullet list of different ways people can monetize their show, but because I don't want our listeners to be put the blinders on just the way we'll end up diving into it. But like, there's a lot of different ways. You could get sponsors for your show. You could do affiliate marketing where you get, you're an affiliate for different products that you promote on your show. You can use it to promote your own products, or if you're a service-based business, using it to drive people into your lead gen funnels, or using your content on the show to nurture people through those funnels, right? So maybe you're generating leads somewhere else and then the ongoing nurture process is using your show content. And, you know, there's a bunch of different ways that we could do it. Primarily for us, we're talking about shows for businesses. And so we're not talking about sponsorships, really, because you have to have a ton of listeners for that to come into play. So anybody who is considering that, you know, I think the going rate is like $20 to $50 per 1,000 listens. And so, you know, to make any kind of decent money to even cover a podcast, you know, you have to be well off the ground and running if that's the route you're going to go. But if you're going to use your podcast to help you get clients for your business and sell your own products, then like you need 12 listeners, right? Like you don't need a huge audience. One of my clients, actually, we were transitioning. They're a startup in the agriculture business, and we did their website last year. We're starting to talk about their social plan. And I said, I was like, I think having your scientists on, as you know, to do a weekly show is a great way to produce content, put your thought leadership out there. And like their main goal as a business is actually to just get acquired. Like they're like a science company. They're not a consumer company. And their target audience for their company is like 7 people in the world, right? Like that's it. That's their target audience. It's like a handful of people. So I'm like, and if they had 7 listeners for their show for 6 months, they'd successfully achieve their goal for the business and like take off and things would be great. So it's like, you don't need to have millions of listeners. Like you need to understand, how big is my business? How many people, you know, how many new clients do I really need every month, every year, whatever you measure your growth by, right? And now all of a sudden you don't need thousands of listeners, millions of listeners. Like, oh, I could get our podcast could be making tons of money if we have dozens of listeners, right? So yeah, you don't need a huge audience to be making money. Now, in business, you do need to make money, which is seems obvious when you say it, but entrepreneurs, you know, especially when, you know, heart-centered, passion, mission-driven, so whatever you want to call us, right? Like, we have this like block where like, we just want to help people get out there. And like, man, I remember back in the day when I first started my company, I was a couple years in, I had to stop taking meetings with certain type of people. I was in like the local networking groups and they'd be like, oh, you know, my mom's neighbor makes, this is legit, this is a real story. My mom's neighbor makes bracelets at home, makes jewelry, and she needs help with her marketing stuff. Like, would you be interested? So I'm like, I'll meet with her, whatever. So like, we meet up at the diner, we're having a cup of coffee. And like, this woman had a $50 a month budget for her marketing. And like, but once I was sitting there hearing her story about how she's been making this jewelry at home for 60 years. And it was like, after her husband died, that's how they stayed connected and this whole thing. And I'm like, we worked and I even had employees at the time too. Or like, I took on a client doing $50 a month and we were like, you know, doing weekly emails. Like, we were doing stuff. And I'm like, man, I'm like, I can't take meetings anymore because I just can't say no. Like, I, you know, and then like, as I, you know, luckily matured a little bit, and then you start seeing numbers. And then when you get real serious about business and, you know, you hire a CFO or an outsourced CFO, which is the route that I went, and they're like, okay, here's like what your profit margin should be. Here's what you need to spend on all these different things. And I'm like, whoa, that's like, I need to charge way more than I've been charging. Yeah. Like, just to have a normal business. $50
isn't going
to
cut
like,
it.
Yeah, $50 ain't going to cut it. But like, and then you start realizing, man, the cost of business is like more than just like, oh, I like I'm charging people and that seems like it's enough. But like, once you start knowing your numbers, you're like, whoa, I really like, you really have to charge. You really got to start making money from the stuff that you do.
Yeah.
And so I mean, I'm excited for today. Thing. Yeah. To get people, yeah. Get yeah, people it's making an money. Thing. So.
And what I dealt with, and I think that this is, you know, the other side of it is when you have that career that's established and you're now starting something that is going to be something new for you, unless you make the intentional decision to separate where the money is coming from, it's easy for you to forget how much money you're spending mm-hmm. and how much money you're not making. Yeah. And that's the other thing too, is like some people who they start a podcast to either highlight a second part of their business or highlight a passion project that turns into a business. And then they think, oh, this is working because I'm still paying my bills, but they don't pay attention to where that's coming from. And that's the other side of the entrepreneurial curse of constantly looking for where that next exciting yeah. adventure is going to be from. And I think that's where a fractional CFO really comes into play of being that 50,000 foot view that we need so many times when we're in the trenches, just doing what we love. So,
right. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to dig into so many of these amazing mindset things that stop people from making money on their podcast. So I'm really excited for that.
Yeah. Yeah. So why don't you take us through a list of some of the mental blocks people have?
So I think that probably the top three for me are this fear of self-promotion. And what I mean by that is so many times I hear people say, you know, I was raised in a society where it was okay to talk about your failures, but if you talked about your successes, you were bragging. You didn't talk about your wins. Mm-hmm. You didn't share that. Nobody wants to hear what, and then especially in this world where, you know, one out of every four messages you get on social media is somebody who just friend requested you that wants to sell you their stuff. So we're becoming immune to those outreaches just as we were to telemarketing calls. So how do we get around that? And how do we stay out of being that spammy, it's not okay to promote myself type of mentality, which is a big issue right now. And then I think the next one is kind of similar to what you were talking about in the beginning. Like, I love what I do so much and I would do it for free. So is it really okay for me to ask people for money for it? Like, yeah. Why should I get paid for something? I can help them and they have a problem that I can solve. So why should I make them pay me for that? Because right. I can help them.
And sometimes that's even accidental. Like, I'll do it myself yeah. where like all of a sudden I'm like, I just spent like 2 hours with somebody giving them stuff. And I'm like, I probably should have charged for that. Like,
yeah. And then, you know, in the podcasting space, especially where so much of what we do is creating content that people can learn from that can become potential clients or customers down the road, or collaborators, or we're going to build relationships with, that only works if people know that we exist. So then there's this side of asking people to share what you're doing and getting people who are going to engage in what you're doing. And how do you ask them to do that? Mm-hmm. And I think this is kind of the hidden behind the curtain scenes that a lot of people don't see is, you know, a lot of times when you see a post that's just getting started, and I'm just going to be completely transparent here. When I first started, there were times I would reach out to a couple of friends of mine and say, hey, I'm going to be posting this post. Would you go check it out? And if it resonates with you, would you please start a comment thread on it? Because nobody wants to be the first person to comment. Yeah. And when I first started doing that, I thought, God, Amber, how pathetic is this? And then I realized, like, that's the way that stuff works in this industry. Like, somebody has to start it.
Yeah. Well, and you know, we've talked about this before in the past around like engagement and stuff. And I always say mind the lurkers, right? Because I am like, if you, my LinkedIn status is like terrible. Like I have nobody likes or comments on my stuff. I rarely post. It's inconsistent. I don't have a strategy. Like what I don't expect anything out of it. My LinkedIn got so filled with spam like a few years ago that I just like threw my hands up and I'm like, I'm not even going to try over here. But once in a, like literally what I said, once in a while, every couple weeks, like if it comes to mind, I'll post something there. And yeah, actually just yesterday, my neighbor sends me a text message and he's like, hey, I saw your post on LinkedIn the other day about like websites that you've been building. And the company I work for needs a new website. And the owner was just saying how like, he's really frustrated. Like, would you be interested? Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like he didn't like or comment on that post. No, but I don't know if anybody liked it, you know, like whatever, but people are seeing it. And so just putting out there and being there does make a difference. So
well, going back to what we were talking about in the beginning, as far as sponsorships, this is where it's proof that I would rather have 15 or 20 people that are actually engaged in my content or engaged in what I'm talking about, whether or not they press the like or press the comment button, than I would have, you know, do I want the Jordan Harbinger 12 million downloads an episode? Of course I do. Who doesn't?
But you also don't want to be kidnapped three different times in different foreign countries.
That'd be great.
Which is his story. Like, so.
Yeah. But what does that actually get? And I would love to know the stats of how many of those 12 million people actually engage in what he's doing and how many are just jumped on the this is entertaining and this is a popular person that I want to listen to train.
Yeah.
So when we're talking to business owners, who I think are the majority of who listen to this podcast, when we're talking to business owners, don't get caught up in those numbers.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing is, you know, one of the mental blocks is thinking that you need a big audience in order to make money from your show. And you don't, you just need to do it the right way. And I think another thing, like getting over this, this mental block of wanting to help people and be helpful, afraid to ask for money and all that kind of thing. I think, and this just came to me as we're talking, but like, having a podcast is actually a great way to help those people for free. Mm-hmm. And so when they do come to you and ask, and if you don't feel comfortable asking for money, or you're just because you're uncomfortable about it, you're not really good at closing sales or whatever, tell them like, hey, there's a couple ways I can help you. And actually, I think this is a part of like Dean Jackson's super signature. Put this in your email signatures where it's like three ways I can help you. Number one, for free, you can listen to my show. We publish every week and we talk about X, Y, and Z. That's free help that you can get. If you have a question, shoot me your question and maybe we'll make an episode on it. And that's free consultation that you can give people through your podcast, but you're creating leverage with that. Right. And then it's like, number two, we do this that you can pay for at a, you know, this price. And then at number three, this is our high price thing that we can help you with. But when people ask you for help and you want to make sure that it's not just like a pick my brain situation, you could say, hey, I'd love to, but right now I'm super focused on my goals. The way that I can help you answer those questions is if you check out the podcast. And then if you have a good catalog and your website is all like that, you know, you can easily send them quick links over to the episode that's relevant for them.
Yeah. And that's what I was just going to follow up with is this is where it becomes key to have a really strong marketing team on your side that understands the value of these free catalog opportunities. Being able to say, okay, I have these places that you can go to get these free resources. And then also keeping a tab of what questions you're getting the most on. And then we've talked about this. How do you create content? Well, you create it from what questions you're getting the most on. But then when you combine that with that strong marketing team and that strong marketing strategy, then you get to send them over to this free resource that you've created. And then you get to be able to nurture them as they realize that this free resource is great. They need a deeper understanding of it. And that's really, you know, I think this is probably one of the biggest mindset blocks people have is thinking they're getting paid for information. Mm-hmm. You're not getting paid for information. You're getting paid for shortening the time between getting the information and getting the results and what people can do with that time. But too many times people are saying, well, I can't charge people for this information. They could go Google it. Then have them go Google it and then have them go get your 10 years of experience and then have them make the 5 years of mistakes with that and then find out how much that 15 years is worth to them.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, what we just kind of inadvertently came up with here, think about this. You talked about like when you post something on social and then asking someone, hey, if this resonates with you, can you go engage with it? How about this? When someone asks you a question, rather than giving them the pick my brain session, you make an episode about it. And you answer the question there. When the episode is published, you share that on social media. Then you email them back and say, hey, that question you asked me, I just posted the episode on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, wherever you post it. Here's the link to the Facebook post. If you like it, I would love if you like, shared, and or commented. And now all of a sudden, you help them out for free. It created a nice asset for your business. And you can loop back around to then get the ball rolling on engagement because that person actually raised their hand to ask something. And now, you know, hopefully they'll return the favor and just commenting there and being that first one that breaks the ice, increases the visibility of your social content and your episodes. And, you know, it's a nice little flywheel effect you can get.
Yeah, absolutely. So for everybody who's listening, you know, we talked in the very beginning about one of the biggest mindset blocks being, you know, that how do I get people to share? Why should I promote myself? And so if you're listening, I would love to know whether what Todd just said sounded spammy to you. Because that's the reality is that we're like, oh, I can't ask people to do stuff. But what Todd just explained is the perfect strategy to be able to accomplish all the things that you want to accomplish. And I would be shocked if anybody thought, man, Todd sounds like an ass when he gives that stuff away for free, right?
Yeah.
Like it's not spammy. What's spammy is, hey, by the way, sign up for my stuff 27 times to 27 different people in a messaging thread. So,
you know, I heard a great story yesterday from Lewis Howes. Let me see if I can pull up what episode number it was real quick, but he was talking about how, so Lewis Howes is the host of School of Greatness podcast, huge, you know, hundreds of thousands, millions of views every month. Huge guy. Great. If you saw him, he sounds great. He's an amazing interviewer, all that stuff. But he said, obviously when he gets started, he sucked. He was terrified of public speaking. He was not very good at all. So he joined Toastmasters for a year to get the reps in. I think it's at least once a week, but they're doing this stuff, right? Like learning public speaking, going through these exercises and having his like the peer review situations where they're giving positive feedback, helping you get better. And one of the things that he really struggled with at the time, I'm paraphrasing all this, of course, but it was like, he was basically like a perfectionist. All he was worried about whenever he was on stage or speaking or whatever was I'm making a mistake. I stumbled here. Oh my God. Like, and freezing up and being tense because all that, that perfectionism. And what he learned was to flip his mindset frame from I'm up here giving a presentation and I need to be perfect to I'm up here sharing information that's helpful to the people in the audience. And the people in the audience don't care if there's a typo on the slide or that you stumbled on a word. Like if you're sitting there just talking to people, giving them value, and then coming from that place, now you're less tense. You're not worried about making mistakes because there's no like if you fumble around your words. Like I do it 10 times an episode. It's not a big deal. I don't know, you know, but when you come from that place of like helpfulness and service, now you're not striving for this perfectionism in the wrong areas. Like you understand that the substance of your content is what will resonate and help people and build that relationship to get them to want to buy from you or work with you, like you said, and that's not spammy. So if you have that kind of, if you feel like it's spammy, you need to flip your mindset and frame it differently to this is not spammy. This is, I need to be helpful. And that's what makes podcasting such a great channel for marketing is that it is being helpful. It's not being spammy.
Yeah, absolutely. The other thing too, and you know, we did a whole episode on some of the mindset things that go on when you're communicating with people. But one of the biggest ones that comes into play here in the marketing space is that perception of how you feel about the situation and projecting that onto the person that you're talking to. Mm-hmm. And so if you have this negative relationship with people reaching out to you to talk about products and services, then when you reach out to somebody else, you're going to project that negative relationship on. So this is where you can buy all the courses. You can listen to everything that Todd and I say in this episode. But the most important thing is that whatever strategy you decide to pick, you are congruent with that strategy. Because if you feel like it's not right for you, then that's going to come off when you reach out to somebody. But here's the one thing that I will say, and this was a game changer for me. And if you adopt this and go into every area of your life with this, it'll change the game. When I first entered the entrepreneurial space, before I even entered the entrepreneurial space, I was selling Beachbody products. Like I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't want to be a business owner. I wasn't there mindset wise, but they had worked for me. Mm-hmm. And somebody gave me the book, Go For No. And I read it.
I'm not familiar.
And I need to go back and read it again in this mindset. But the premise and the way that I've heard it said that landed with me a little bit better was make them tell you no. When you reach out to somebody, whether it's a guest that you want to get on your podcast, whether it's somebody that you're asking if they want to sponsor your podcast, whether it's somebody that you want to get on a connection call with or a strategy call with, if you want them to share your podcast post, whatever it is, so many times people reach out to them and then they immediately pull back and give them an out. Reach out to them and then make them tell you no if they're not interested. Don't project your self-confidence issues onto their answer.
Yeah, like the classic, like, hey, Amber, like, you know, I see this and I see you have these issues on, you know, in your business and I can help you. I know how to help you and I know how to fix it. But like, if you're not interested, then that's okay. I totally get it. And you know, don't worry about it if you don't want to talk. But like,
yeah, exactly. You
know, everybody wants to hedge against the fear of rejection instead of coming from that place of helpfulness.
Yeah. And it is 100% uncomfortable when you first start. But if you're producing this podcast, you're spending your resources, your time, your energy, your focus, many times your money in producing this podcast. And if you are doing all of that, then you have to believe that it's beneficial in some way. So why are you keeping that to yourself? When you reach out to somebody, you're reaching out to them because you believe it's beneficial for whatever purpose. So allow them to understand that benefit. And of all the things we talk about in this episode, I think that without that piece, it doesn't matter. Because if you're reaching out to people and then you're giving them an out instead of making them tell you no so you can understand where they're really at, then you're just wasting your time, to be completely honest.
Yeah. Yeah. And we definitely don't want anyone wasting time. We want to help you guys get out there and serve more people and, you know, create more expansion in the universe. You know, like Eric says, changing the world one mic at a time. So if you do have a show and you want to improve the show and put it in a place where you can monetize it and help it grow your business, make sure you go to onairbrands.com and talk to Eric and the guys over there about how you could do that and how they can help you get there. And if you have any questions about this kind of stuff, any mindset blocks, any money blocks, show blocks, all that stuff, we are here to answer your questions. Just like we talked about today, we'd love to hear from you guys. So please make sure you like, comment, share, and subscribe. And we will catch you on the next episode.
You are now tuned in to the On Air Brands podcast. We'll be right back.